Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan, as always. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm a lot better than I was yesterday and the day before, because if we recorded yesterday and the day before, you would have heard angry Kyle, like, after the Eagles threw.
Yeah, well, definitely a very fun past few days for us Knicks fans. It's been a little stressful.
He's being sarcastic. It wasn't fun at all. It sucked.
Two very close losses that ended in a bit of a heartbreak. The first one was a little kind of expected, but I mean, look, we'll talk about that.
I was still mad.
No, okay. The Knicks were down by 18, and then all of a sudden they almost beat the Nets, who are now the one seed in the East, and it's also the whole New York-Brooklyn rivalry. So obviously it was a game that we wanted to win.
The Nets are so good.
I think it's going to be really hard to beat them in the playoffs. I don't see any other East team really coming close, even the Bucks.
Nets are so good.
Okay, so let's go over that game real quick. So, slow start. Randall. Okay, but let's talk about the first half first, because I don't want to go right into that.
Well, the first thing that happened that was kind of a while ago, they got stomped by the Bucks, and then they stomped the Thunder. So, they started the trip 1-1. And we said they had to win the Thunder game, and they did.
Yes.
So, that's good news.
All right. Before we get into anything, though, what's happening with D. Rose? Like, does he have COVID?
Totally has COVID. I mean, you hate to speculate, but I don't know what else it could be.
There's no way that it's anything else. I mean, look, so he was out the week before the All-Star break for COVID-related protocols. So, we thought, okay – it's just contact tracing, that kind of thing. But now it is, 2 weeks later, basically.
And yeah, the whole he's still out. Plus another whole road trip, which was a week. I mean, you hate to speculate, but I don't know why else he would have been out for
two weeks. No, it doesn't make sense. I mean, as a player that's not – one, that's not a star, so it's not load management or anything like that. Yeah. Two, he's not old enough to be in a position where it's just kind of like resting. It's – seems like it's got to be COVID. There's no other way that he doesn't.
It's not resting. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but it's probably COVID. And, you know, you just hope he's fine. He'll come back to be just as good. I mean, because the Knicks offense is so stagnant with that. There's no pass and kick, it feels like, a lot of the time, because as good as IQ is, that's not really his game. There's no pick and roll. And because of that, it's resorted to Julius Randle, who gets tired at the end of games because he plays so much, and he has to because he's the best player. He hucks up shots at the end, hot shots that he would hit if he wasn't as tired, or RJ Barrett just driving to the hoop and getting triple teamed. So the offense has just become incredibly stagnant.
Can we talk about RJ Barrett, though, kind of stepping up these past few games?
No, yeah, he's been really good. And that wasn't a knock at RJ Barrett at all.
Look, RJ Barrett has kind of not – silence the haters, because they're definitely still there and speculating because it's only been a few games. But RJ Barrett, since the All-Star break, has had very solid games under his belt. He had 32 that one game. And honestly, like, he's been able to – he's had a very big jump from what I was saying a few weeks back just about his consistency. I'm hoping that he retains that. I'm hoping that he's able to stay this consistent. I don't really think that he will. But I mean,
okay, I'll say this. He's having a better age 20 season than Jason Tatum has had. And if RJ Barrett ends up at the same skill level as Jason Tatum, a top 15, top 20 guy in the NBA, if that's a ceiling, I'm not going to complain.
100%. I mean, looking back, so he's played over the past two games, 41 and 35 minutes. That's the Nets game and the Sixers game. And from there, he put up 23 and 17, which are both very solid numbers. And then the game before that was the one where he went off for 32 points in 36 minutes. So it's definitely something that is worth noting. It's definitely something worth not celebrating, but just realizing and hoping for the best, just because
progress is what it is.
Exactly. It's progress. And look, I mean, I will dog on RJ Barrett as a Knicks fan, just because, I mean, you always got to dog on your players as a Knicks fan. But I think that the way that he's been progressing over this past week is definitely a high note that we really haven't seen yet out of him.
Yeah, he's stepping into a similar role that we'd hope he'd step into. And it's hard to complain about how he's played.
100%, 100%.
Like, you're nitpicking at this point, especially with the guy who's 20 years old. Like, it's his second season. He's coming into his own a little bit more. He seems to play a lot better alongside Quickly when he has a more versatile point guard other than Elfrid Payton, who literally just drives into traffic and throws up BS. But, and a guy that maybe will create more space for him. I don't think he took any threes last night or the Knicks last night. I was more mad about the Sixers loss than the Nets loss. And the Nets loss made me really mad at the end. But, like, the Sixers loss was frustrating because that's one you got to have.
I completely agree. I mean, look, the Nets one was kind of more a chance where the Knicks were given a shot at the very end to kind of have this really large comeback that nobody really expected. Look, obviously, a big thing of that was the refs. It's really – I don't really know if that last call on Randall was a travel or not.
Listen, I don't know what the right call was. I know I was upset in the moment, and we all knew that the NBA most likely wasn't going to fess up and admit that they were wrong, even if they were. So, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Just
whatever.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, it sucks, but you got
to
move on.
The really frustrating call was that they overturned the challenge, but if that play continues, they get a layup and they're down one, and then they probably go for the steal again, or they foul, and then it's the butterfly effect. That was the real frustrating one. They got the call right at the end of the day, but that would have been a steal and an easy layup, and then we're down one with 15 seconds as opposed to having to huck up a three. It's just like – because, you know, what if the Nets missed a free throw? What if we didn't have to waste a timeout on that challenge call? Like, you get that steal and layup, and, like, it's just
– Exactly.
It's frustrating that they called foul in that moment because that clearly wasn't a foul. So that kind of did – that it just throws off the rhythm of the whole situation. Very frustrating.
So moving back a little bit, something that was a little disappointing. So we'll be able to come back to the Sixers and the Nets game after. But I just want to talk about the All-Star break being a little disappointing for us Knicks fans. I mean, Randall not really playing too much during the
All-Star. I didn't mind Randall not playing much just because he plays so much when he's with the Knicks. But, yeah, I would have liked to have seen a little more action from him.
Hey, Obi Toppin, as much as he's been
– that game. He'll be back. Julius Randall will be back in that All-Star game.
Obi Toppin, as much as he hasn't really been – good at all since the All-Star break in terms of Knicks play, I believe that he did get snubbed at that dunk contest win, though.
I think he got snubbed, too. Of course, we're going to say that. I mean, that's just because Anthony Simons' dunk was not impressive. He didn't do what he was trying to do, and they still gave it to him for some reason. Obi Toppin's dunk, like, it wasn't that original, but he still did what he was trying to do. It's just like the lull Knicks narrative, like I said last episode. Like, they just love dragging that out. But in all seriousness, when we had Jeremy on, he was like, would you trade Obi Toppin? I said yes pretty non-hesitantly. He's been playing pretty bad lately.
Yeah, it's definitely been a little disappointing.
I mean, like, I don't want to get on him too much. And he's not that involved in the offense, which is frustrating, but he's very one-dimensional. The bench unit's just not been that good right now.
Mm-hmm. Not 100%.
I don't really know what the deal is with that. I mean, IQ's been playing well. IQ and RJ, their biggest thing is they need to be consistently good. I don't know if IQ's going to hold on to his starting role throughout if Derrick Rose and Peyton are back. I would hope, but I don't really know how realistic that is for us to prey upon. But right now, the Knicks are one game under 500 and in the eighth seed. And we're doing a lot of scoreboard watching tonight, and there are a few results shaping out in the Knicks' favor, but this is tomorrow's game against Orlando is going to shape up to be very similar to, like, the Sacramento game a few weeks ago, the Oklahoma City game on Saturday, where they have to win because it's a winnable game to stay in the race. And it's a must win. You can't lose a game like that.
How about the Knicks potentially going after Andre Drummond? I know we've talked about that in past episodes, but I know that you're not a huge fan of that, but no. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation recently. It says that the Knicks are interested. It's definitely been a topic of conversation that I feel like we have to bring up at least one more time, because we'll probably have another episode before the trade deadline hits, which is March 25th. That's next Thursday.
I just don't want to. That's a dumb no. No, I don't want to. I'm not going to change my mind about that.
I mean, but hear me out. No. I agree with you in the sense that I don't think that it's necessary for them to get him. I believe that he would be a very big contributor for this Knicks team. But yeah, especially with Mitchell.
I don't even know if the Knicks need a wing.
Yeah.
Bro, Alec Burks, I swear, either looks like the best player in the gym or the worst player on an AAU team on any given
It's so annoying to see his inconsistency.
Yeah, because you know what he does? He'll hit a couple big shots, and then he'll start taking the most terrible shot selection. And it just, oh, my God. I swear he does it every night. He'll hit a couple big shots on the nights where he does. Sometimes he'll just be terrible the whole time. And then he'll keep shooting those shots, and he'll start missing them. And you're like, oh, we wasted a possession. It's just so dumb. Oh, my God.
Agreed, 100%. It's very frustrating to watch him play because you really never know what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's got skill. I just wish he were a little bit smarter
sometimes. The Knicks should deal Austin Rivers. I feel like we've got to
adjust. I agree.
Look, I don't think that he's a bad player. I think that he's not correctly used in the Knicks rotation, but, I mean, there's not much you could do. You look at the number of guards and you look at the playing time of each of them. I think that I'm not going to say I think that he should get playing time, but
– oh, he shouldn't. You know who should get playing time? Kevin Knox.
I agree. I think that the Knicks should really give
– people are going to be mad about this take, but Kevin Knox should be getting Obi Toppin's minutes.
That's what I was about to say. Kevin Knox should be getting Obi Toppin's minutes.
People are going to be mad about that, but – it's true.
Obi Toppin, look, looking back right now, Obi Toppin is not looking like a good pick.
Yeah, and it's not.
Look, obviously, there's going to be doubts with that. And obviously, at the time of the draft, we did not know that Julius Randle was going to be an all-star this year. I thought that we were going to have to trade him. But the Knicks are stuck right now with Obi Toppin, who has been underperforming. And you can't use the excuse that he's young and he still has time to develop like you have with
Frank Ntilikina
or Kevin Knox or RJ Barrett. He's 23.
He's 23 years old. I'm sorry. It's just, oh my. Especially, I have a headache about the Knicks right now. I really do. Last night's game, I get it. The Sixers are a top contender in the East. I get it. You're up by 9 heading into the fourth, and you score 14 in the fourth quarter. They missed 8 free throws the entire game. They just screwed up down the stretch. They couldn't hit a clutch shot to save their lives. They deserved to lose, and it was really frustrating to watch because they had it in the bag. I said that if the Knicks went 1-3 on the road trip, I couldn't overreact and freak out. But the fashion in which they lost the last two games just – oh, my God.
Because they're heartbreakers. I mean, you
– they really just broke – yeah, they broke me. That was terrible. It sucked.
You go in with the hope – or you go in – with 2 minutes left, thinking that this is a game that you can win, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart. It falls into a million pieces, and then you're just stuck there. Just
especially the Sixers one, like the whole Nets comeback. I was like, if they can, and then the Sixers come back. I was just like,
no, the Sixers should have won.
Lost. I mean, I'm saying like,
the Knicks should have beat the Sixers.
Yeah, they should have. God, and I'm not even gonna play the. We have, like, no guards right now. We have virtually no guards. Like, Elfrid Payton, even the value he provided, the little value, we needed that. Derrick Rose, what he was doing for the bench unit, we need that back. It's – and I love Frank Ntilikina to death. But when you score – when you shoot – when you're, like, 0 for your last 12 and score 0 points off the bench, like, dude, those yeah. – that's 8 Derrick Rose points right there. That's 9-10 Derrick Rose points. That's probably 12 or 13 Elfrid Payton points even. Like
– we need – Rose back as soon as he can. I mean, like,
he's become an imperative part of the rotation.
Exactly. I think that both of these past games are winnable if Rose is in and is having minutes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Nets game would have been tough to win no matter what because the Nets are so, so damn good. The Sixers game was super winnable.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it. We have to, on Saturday, we play the Sixers again. That's a game like you don't need to win, but if you can win that, it's just, it would feel great.
It would.
It would be retribution for yesterday's loss. So, I mean, on the bright side of things, I'm looking at the out-of-town scoreboard for right now. The Celtics just lost. The Nuggets are crushing the Hornets. The Pacers lost. The Bulls lost. The Raptors lost.
Okay, how can you hate the Hornets, though? Real talk.
I don't hate the Hornets. It's just we're fighting with them for a similar position.
I saw a thing. It was like the Hornets this year are like the 2018 Nets with D'Lo. I don't know. I just feel like the Hornets are a very lovable team this year.
On a completely separate note, my phone is refusing to charge right now, and it's making me really mad.
Yes, that has so much to do with what we're talking about right now. God.
I'm trying to plug in my phone, and it won't charge.
Okay, and is that a problem?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Is that my problem?
It's a huge problem. All right, whatever. Okay. Whatever. We're leaving that in, by the way. I don't even care. Whatever. They can know that my phone's not working. Okay. What are we talking about?
I was talking about the Hornets being a lovable team.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of like LaMelo Ball. Because you know what? I have a soft spot for LaMelo Ball. And I have a good comment after this. Because, like, I don't know. Something about watching him, like, grow. Because, like, you heard about him when he was, like, in eighth grade. Like, winning it.
You watched him grow up.
Yeah, like, it's pretty cool.
I feel like if you were to have, like, a celebrity lookalike, it would be LaMelo Ball.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, speaking of Ball brothers, I've been seeing a lot of Lonzo Ball, like, Knicks talk. I don't think the Pelicans are going to trade him, but I don't know. Like, we should offer sheet him.
I mean, look, all I'm saying is LaVar did want him to come to New York at one point.
That would be great. I don't know, man. I think I really think that would be a good move, dude.
What happened to LiAngelo?
He got arrested in China.
Yeah, well, besides that.
I mean, that really did derail his career, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, he didn't really have much of a career to begin with. His entire career was going undrafted, playing in the overseas league, being on the Pistons preseason team. That's about it.
Yeah.
Poor dude.
Nah, it sucks. I mean, I think LaMelo is going to be the best one out of all. But because Lonzo had so much hype, and then he just wasn't, like, the hype. He didn't live up to it, but he's still a solid NBA player.
No, he's definitely – look, he
– he's gotten better.
Because when he was drafted, people looked at him as the next star of the NBA. Like, and that's obviously not what he was. But he's a very solid player, and he's definitely a big contributor to the Pelicans team. Where
the Pelicans stink for some – I don't know how the Pelicans are so bad.
Yeah, really.
It doesn't really make any sense.
And yet
– I always see – the Pelicans are the perfect example of a team I literally always see on national television.
That's what I was about to say. ESPN,
I don't know why. They're always on ESPN, and they are just not good.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the Zion hype. I mean – Zion was supposed
No, Zion's good. The rest of them kind of suck.
I know, but just the idea of Zion being on that team is such a great excuse for ESPN.
That could be a good team, though. When did Julius Randle get traded to the Pelicans? Did he sign there?
I'm trying to think. That's a good question. Let me look right now.
He was only there for 1 year, right? Did he? No, he didn't get traded in the Anthony Davis trade.
No.
He's not. No. Because he never played with LeBron.
Okay, I'm looking right now.
Did he sign like a 1 year deal in New Orleans?
Yes, he signed a 2 year deal with New Orleans.
Then why did he only play there for 1 year?
And then he declined a second year player option. So, well, yeah, 1 year with the Pelicans.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, also, the Knicks have that tie of, like, getting guys from the Pelicans, and then they have breakout seasons with us.
Can we get Drew Holiday? I know that he's not on their team anymore, but I just really like Drew Holiday.
Sure. Probably an upgrade. All right, but in all seriousness about the Knicks, we kind of got off topic for a second there. I'll look at – what's their schedule coming up? I know they have the Magic and then the Sixers. I need to look. So they have the Magic tomorrow. That's a game they need to find a way to win, no matter what, because you can't go two games under 500, and that they're just not a good team this year. Then they have Philly on Sunday. that not Saturday, Sunday. I'm sorry, I mixed that up. And that's a winnable game because of the way they played them close and because you got to get retribution for the game that they played yesterday. Then they have two games against Washington before heading back on the road for Milwaukee. So they have a four-game homestand coming up. So realistically, for Orlando, Philly, and then two games against Washington, all four at home, I think the Knicks need to find a way to go 3-1 here.
Look, I think that those are all winnable games, honestly. I feel like the Knicks could go 4-0 in that span. I know that's not going to happen just because it's the Knicks. But, yeah, I think if they're able to go 3-1, if they're able to go over 500 in that span, I think that'll definitely be very – one, I think that's possible. But, two, like, obviously that's going to be a very big momentum shifter for this Knicks team.
I think we talked about this. They haven't been on a four-game winning streak yet this year. So, I don't think they're going to go 4-0. I mean, yeah. They can – if they lose to Philly on Sunday – that would really stink for a lot of reasons, but then they'd have to find a way to sweep Washington. And if they lose to, if they win to Philly, then they listen, like, it's just three out of these four, you have to win. Like, I feel like 2-2 would kind of leave a sour taste in my mouth at this point.
Yeah, no, it's definitely because, like, look, right now the Knicks are coming off two really tough losses. Obviously the Bucks, they got absolutely destroyed by after the All-Star break, but they kind of came back with that Thunder win.
Yeah.
Look, right now they're riding on a two-game losing streak. The last thing you want is to go in with these hopes of being 3-1, 4-0, which are both definitely possible, and then end up choking or losing a few games. It's definitely going to put a really big damper on this team's motivation.
I'll tell you what they got to do. They got to go out tomorrow night pissed off, and they need to win that game by 25 points. Would you say so? What was the react? Did something happen?
Yeah, no, nothing happened. I don't really. Sorry. But going back to Knicks, whatever. Sorry.
I bet Frank texted you, huh?
Yep, that's it. No, I mean, if you really want to know, Deshaun Watson just got accused of sexual assault by a second woman. Both of them were massage therapists.
And yeah, we don't really need to get into that, but I saw the first one this morning and – you know, that's one of those things you just got to hope it's not true. But if it is, hopefully he gets the punishment he deserves.
Yeah. And look, we'll have more of a football topic with the – I mean, we'll have more of a football episode with the topic of Deshaun Watson coming up later in the week.
Definitely. Probably just Sunday or Monday, right?
Exactly. Just because, like, you know what? I really think right now we're recording this Wednesday night. I think that by tomorrow, by Thursday night, Kenny Golladay will be in New York.
Hey, would you relax? I think that too, but we don't have to say it yet because we're going to sound stupid when we record this on Sunday and he is a Cincinnati Bengal.
Okay, well, Kenny Golladay will be signed to a team by the next time we have a episode, whether that be the Giants or the Bengals or...
Quick little Giants tidbit, yes. He is visiting the facility in the Meadowlands tomorrow.
Exactly.
Good news.
Okay, so we'll get more into that for the next episode, but if there's anything else you want to bring up about the Knicks right now...
No, I was just talking about Knicks homestand because we pretty much went over. I mean, they lost yesterday because they couldn't hit in the clutch time. They sucked in the fourth quarter on offense. They were tired and they missed 8 free throws in the game. They lost against the Nets. I mean, that was just, I don't know. It's hard to put a pinpoint on that. The Nets are just really good and they killed the Thunder. What I'll say about tomorrow's game, I already said this, they got to go out and try and win by 20 or 25. Send a message, set the tone for the homestand and be ready for Philly on Sunday. That's what I'm going to say. So, baseball, hockey.
Let's start with hockey. Let's talk about how the Rangers won 9-0 tonight.
Mika Zibanejad broke out. He had 6 points. So.
Okay, but when was the last time? Like, honestly, obviously.
He scored 4 goals. He had the same amount of goals tonight than he had all season prior to tonight.
The Rangers tonight outscored the Jets in 5 games this season and tied them once. It's kind of sad.
I don't know. The Rangers are 12-12-4. It's hard for me to get a gauge on them. When they're all healthy, they're pretty damn good. But, like, it's hard to be healthy this year for a million reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But when you win a game 9-0, that's nothing to bat your eye, bat an eye at. I mean, they won 4-0 in Boston on Saturday. They won 9-0 today, and they lost 5-4 in overtime against the Flyers in between. Tonight's game is against the Flyers as well. I don't know. They're in 6th place right now. They're still a couple – they're still, like, 5 or 6 points out of a playoff spot. But, you know, if they keep winning, you never know. I mean, it's in division play, so.
Still early in the season as well.
We're almost halfway through. They're treading right below water. Like, they're exactly. Close. And I don't expect them to make the playoffs either. But,
No, I think that they could, definitely. I mean, look, right now they're still in a spot where it's limbo, where you don't really know if they're a good team or not. And obviously that comes with young players, and that comes with the
– Yeah, they've shown a ton of flashes, which is good news.
Exactly. Man, what happened to the Flyers?
I don't know, dude. The Flyers were supposed to be really good this year, and they're just kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. I genuinely, like, they were supposed to be really good this year.
I know. I was reading up on that before. I mean, because I saw that they were up 7-0, and I'm like, I thought that the Flyers were
decent. I think I texted you when it was like 4-0, and I said, throw this on. It's going to be therapeutic. And then they ended up winning 9-0. I wish they had gotten the 10th. They scored 0 goals in the third period. Shame on them. They, at the second intermission, it was 9-0. They could have gotten a 10th, but they didn't.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unacceptable.
Dude, that would have been so awesome, though.
So they tie the franchise record for most goals in two periods. First time with 9 goals since 1983.
And hey, I mean, Mika Zibanejad getting 6 goals, six points, 3 goals. Hopefully the Flyers woke up the sleeping giant tonight, because he was he was the hottest player on the planet right before COVID last year. And getting 6 points in a period, the most ever by any NHL player in the second period. That's awesome. I mean, it just shows that when this guy is right, he's unbelievable. Hat trick tonight, shorthanded goal, power play goal, and even strength goal, along with 3 assists. So, and the top line seemed to be clicking for the Rangers tonight as well, because Buch had a couple goals, Kreider had a couple assists, and Lafreniere had a point. He had an assist. Yeah, you got to point that out every time. So, I mean, they won 9-0. And Georgiev made a couple really great saves. He wasn't tested all that much, but hey, he didn't allow a goal. So you can't complain when your guy doesn't even allow a goal. You only faced like 15, 20 shots, something like that. But, you know, 9-0 win, I'm not going to complain about that. But this is not – seriously – The Philadelphia sports teams delivered me 2 brutal losses on Monday and Tuesday night, with the Rangers losing 5-4 in overtime Monday, to add on to the Knicks loss and then last night's Sixers game. So hopefully this is retribution and the Knicks will beat the Sixers by like 50 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Just some baseball stuff real quick. I haven't really been following the Yankees that much. Have you been following the Mets that much yet?
Nope, not really. I mean, it's just kind of been very
no, because you know what else? I would follow them more, but they don't play every game on TV.
Yeah.
Like, does SNY's like they don't televise every Mets game yet, do they?
I don't think so, no, not that I've seen.
So I mean that's pretty frustrating. The Yankees have won 8 in a row, which is kind of like a tease, because they could win 8 in a row 30 days from now, that'd be terrific. But the games don't count yet. But one thing that is worth noting is that a lot of the guys that are competing for that 4th-5th spot in the rotation have pitched really well. Like Montgomery, Garcia, Domingo Herman, they've been really good. They've been studs. And Garrett Cole is Garrett Cole. I'm not worried about him. And Kluber and Tyone have only given me reasons to be excited. So, I don't know. Maybe the Yankees' rotation won't be such a question mark this year. But, hey, they're 13-4. They're 13-4-1 in the spring. Like better to be that than 4-13-1. So,
no, I completely agree.
I'm not going to read too much into it, but it also – it's good that I don't have to be like super duper worried that they're not winning games. I don't know. Whatever. We're almost 2 weeks away. I think tomorrow marks two weeks away from opening day, which is that's so exciting, dude.
It's so weird. I feel like the baseball season ended literally like a month ago.
No, I don't. I don't at all.
I don't know. Cause like that was the main thing with COVID summer. This summer was just like all baseball. And I just firmly remember being at work for like every single Mets and Yankees game.
I mean, no, my father, who is a Mets, I don't know if I told you this, my dad's a Mets fan. I've told you that, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, my dad's a Mets fan. He's from Long Island.
What a cool dude.
I mean, he's Mets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, which is kind of an off combo, I feel like.
Mets, Giants, Knicks.
I don't know. Knicks, Rangers usually goes together, but I feel like it's usually Mets, Jets, and then Yankees, Giants. You know what I mean. Like, that's just how it typically is. I don't know. My dad, he's a Mets Giants fan because of 1986, pretty much. He was like 10 years old.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he was 10 years old, so that makes perfect sense. And then he's Knicks Rangers because he lived in Manhattan when they were good in the '90s. So that's pretty much you get in your favorite sport teams when they're good or when your parents force you to watch your completely terrible.
Okay, wait. So where are you going with this? Why did you bring up your dad?
Oh, because I was just talking about how baseball is going to be exciting with both the Yankees and the Mets and how he just got a Mets flag for our beach house because he's not a – my dad was a big Wilpon hater. So, like, he didn't really like buying Mets gear for, like, the last, like, 20 years. I don't think he's gotten a new Mets, like, jersey, hat, anything like that in so long. But he just ordered a Mets flag to combat the Yankees flag that I ordered a couple years ago. So it's going to be a fun little rivalry we've got down the summer at the beach house. Here's what we're doing. So there's like two balconies. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a Jersey Shore beach house, but like there's like two balconies. Whichever team has more wins, the flag is going to get to fly on the higher balcony. And whichever team has less wins, it's going to fly on the lower one. So that'll be fun.
God, not everyone's as spoiled and rich as you, Kyle. God.
You're literally invited. Shut up. You're literally invited to the house.
Okay. Well, this is something that doesn't really have to do with episode number 37 of the Big Apple Sports Media podcast.
Dude, it's fun when we go off and talk about our personal lives.
Everyone, I know it is. It is. I 100% agree.
Everyone enjoys that. Don't even act like...
Well, we're nearing the end of the episode anyway, so why don't we just end this?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. We're not going to talk about football yet because if we did, we'd talk about it for 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll have a lot more to talk about in this coming week with free agent signings.
March Madness starts on Friday. I don't know why it's not starting tomorrow this year.
Well, it is. It's just the first four.
Yeah, but I'm kind of I loved like the Thursday, Friday having like 16 games.
That's true. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. Who do you have in your championship for March Madness?
I have Gonzaga over Ohio State. I'll tell you the final four that I pick. I got to check. Because I forget who's playing who, but I remember the teams that I picked. I picked Gonzaga because Gonzaga's going to win.
I don't think so.
I really think. I'm in a bracket with like 15 of my friends. Shout out Princeton High School. Where is my bracket?
Wow, no invite.
Do you go to Princeton High School?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, for sure, bud. It's called Princeton Men.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. Okay. So I have Gonzaga over Texas and Ohio State over Oklahoma State. The reason I know Oklahoma State's like, that's like a sexy pick for a lot of people, but I only have them go to the Final Four because I think Cade Cunningham's going to carry. And I'm not a big college basketball guy. So I just hear about this kid and it made me want to pick them to my Final Four. You know what I mean?
Okay. So I'll tell you my Final Four.
Okay. So look, I'll tell you Gonzaga over Texas, Ohio State over Oklahoma State, Gonzaga over Ohio State, 68-67 in the championship.
So we have a very similar Final Four. I have Texas over Gonzaga.
Okay. I respect that. Similar to the Kentucky-Wisconsin game from like 6 years ago.
And then I have Oklahoma State over Baylor.
Okay, so you also picked Oklahoma State. See, I know that's a lot of people's sexy pick, but I really like Oklahoma State.
I love Oklahoma State. And like, honestly, that's not me being...
And also, this is going to piss a lot of people off. I have Syracuse in the Elite Eight.
Really? That's interesting. And then I have Texas.
I don't know. This Syracuse is – first of all, I'm applying to Syracuse, so, like, that's one thing.
Oh, wow, college guy.
Syracuse does this thing every 4 or 5 years where they make a Final Four run.
No, that is very true, though. That's like Marquette type.
Yeah, it's hard. No, I mean, Boeheim's 2-3 defense, like, that's hard to prepare for when you don't have, like, a little while to prepare for it. Like, you're not going to know – that's a tough thing to prepare for. There's a reason why that guy's been coaching for so long. That's all I'm going to say.
Every year I try to make 25 brackets just because I'm bored and I think it's funny to see how far they could get. And I don't want to flex, but two years ago, so not last year because there wasn't a tournament, but 2 years ago I had the 579th ranked bracket in all of the world.
Damn, so that's really
I'm
good.
I'm kind of cool.
No, here's my Jersey New York bias showing. I have a Sweet 16 game between Rutgers and Syracuse.
That's interesting.
Dude, but that would be so cool. That'd be awesome for like our area. There's so many Syracuse and Rutgers alum around where we live.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. Anyway, whatever. What's your final? Who do you have winning it all?
I have Texas beating Oklahoma State.
That's a good pick.
I think Texas is winning it this year, but there's definitely a lot to. There's a lot on the line. There's a lot that
I don't know, dude. I know Gonzaga is a safe pick, but they're just so good, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is the year they finally put it all together. They've been hovering around winning a title for the better part of a decade now. So
it's fair.
I don't know. You can call it what you will, because, yeah, it's a safe pick. They were the best team in the nation, but it's kind of a Mickey Mouse season anyway.
Okay, give me one upset that you have in the first round.
I have to look at my friggin' bracket. Does Syracuse over San Diego State count?
Yeah, I'll say that.
What about Winthrop over Villanova? I picked two 12s this year, actually. I picked Georgetown over Colorado because go Patrick. I have Georgetown going to the Sweet 16 also, but I think they're going to lose to Michigan. Wow. I have Georgetown going to the Sweet 16. You got to throw some upsets in there. You know that.
I have UNC Greensboro over number 4 Florida State.
Yeah, I like that. I like that pick. No, I have Georgetown over Colorado and then Florida State. And then I have Winthrop beating Villanova. But I feel like that's everyone's sexy 12-5 pick this year. But I genuinely don't think Villanova is going to win. I mean, I have a lot of love for Villanova being someone from the South Jersey area. But I just think they're too depleted, man. But it was fun to see them win two titles for like a somewhat local team. I have a lot of friends who are big Villanova guys.
Good man.
So I love me so. I picked Villanova to win the title in 2018 when they won. So I don't want to get any hate for this because I picked that right. I had Villanova over Michigan. So
good man.
Yeah, good man. Villanova fans don't hate me. I still love you all. And Chris Jenkins is a stud for that hitting that shot.
All right. Well, that just
Before we close out here, my phone is charging again.
I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
Okay, so
What were you gonna say?
No, that's it.
No, you were gonna say something else. Let's keep it going.
I just wanted to say that just wraps up our episode number 37 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast.
We'll be back in like 3 or 4 days. So
exactly, we've had a bit of a break. We had our own. We'll
probably record after the Sixers game on Sunday, honestly, unless Anthony is like, "Man, I'm so tired, I'm going to bed."
God, do you
unless
ever
I'm like, man,
up?
I have a headache.
Do you ever just like stop speaking for 1 minute in your life?
Yeah, I let you talk like half the show.
Yeah, it's like 25%.
Yeah, no. At least 40% of the show.
God, oh my God, he's still speaking. So let's drop our socials real quick. If you want to follow the account, it is Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. If you want to follow me, it's at Anthony Evangelista on Instagram. No more 7. I dropped the 7. So,
ooh, big guy.
Big change. I was able to get that username from a random guy named Anthony Evangelista that changed his name to Evangelista Decor. So thank you, Anthony Evangelista, for that. So
dude, I've been trying to DM Kyle Keegan on Instagram for years.
Yeah, no, I kind of got lucky. I don't know how that he's had that username for like 8 years now, and he just kind of decided to start his own decor business. I'm not complaining. Let's not talk about this. Anthony Evangelist on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter.
You want to shout out mine too?
So if you want to follow Kyle on Instagram and Twitter, it's Kyle Keegan, but the L is a 1. It's Kai1E Keegan.
Hey, see, I do let you talk, and you did a great job.
All right, I'm gonna just end the episode before I have any more urges to beat this kid.
Thank you all so much for watching. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love the impressions. Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Thanks.